40 lessons and messages. Last century, only a few ulama or religious scholars would march on foot towards Karbala to visit the Master of Martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, on the 40th day of his martyrdom, known as Arba'een. Therefore, no one would think to see millions of followers of Imam Hussein who flocked to Iraq for pilgrimage for the Prophet's dear grandson, Imam Hussein, who sacrificed his life to save mankind from ignorance and going astray. For the past several years, over 30 million people from across Iraq and all over the Islamic world let the magnet of Hussein attract their hearts, so that from several weeks before Arba'een, Iraq, especially the route between Najaf and Karbala, becomes the scene of the greatest ever crowd of human beings throughout history. According to the Iraqi government statistics, in 2015, more than 27 million pilgrims had participated in the Arba'een march, and over 17,500 stands, called mukeb in Arabic, were set up by the Iraqi people for rendering every kind of service to the pilgrims. The services provided to the pilgrims included three-time meals and resting places. According to an official figure, over 700 million meals had been distributed among pilgrims in the Arba'een march before the coronavirus pandemic. Let the enemies boycott the unmatched and unprecedented splendor of Arba'een and the purity of love of tens of millions of people who flocked to Karbala to show that Imam Hussein is the Lord of their hearts. Let the hired media and journalists affiliated and paid by the United States and the Israeli regime kill their conscience and shut their eyes to the greatest human ocean in history, which is getting greater and greater every year, without any propaganda or publicity. This is really astounding. Over 50 million people were killed in the two world wars. Thousands of people have been killed in different wars and conflicts during history, but no trace of them has remained. What is the mystery of Imam Hussein and his 72 companions, which keeps ruling the hearts, shining with an ever-increasing glory, transcending history and geography? This is why the tyrants of history have always tried to erase the memory of Hussein and his unique movement by every means. The Abbasid tyrant, Mutawakkil, even destroyed the grave of Imam Hussein through harrowing it and submerging the area to annihilate any trace of Hussein. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, clarified the goal of his movement when he said, "O God, you know that what we have done has not been a rivalry for power or reaching the worldly gain. But my goal is to return the signs of your religion to their place and reform your land so that the oppressed among your servants get security and the obligations, traditions, and orders of your religion are performed." The Arba'een march has been called the journey of love and faith, the love of the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and faith in their thought and practice. The followers of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, get prepared for Arba'een several days and weeks before they set off on the journey. Naturally, this multitude of people in a few routes may create problems, but pilgrims endure all problems with patience and self-sacrifice. Brotherhood and affection helps them tolerate the hardships. They try to follow Imam Hussein when he told his son, My son, be steadfast on truth, even if it may be bitter. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said, friendship of a faithful with another faithful is among the biggest branches of faith, and whoever loves for God's sake and hates for God's sake and spends for God's sake and spares for God's sake will be considered among the select. The travelers of the Arba'een March have been selected to introduce freedom, humanity and affection to the world. The Iraqi people provide services to the pilgrims wholeheartedly at every mokeb without any expectations. They have learnt from their imam, where Hussein says, anyone who serves his brother in faith for God's satisfaction, God will give him in return and will remove the calamities of the world more than his service. And whoever removes the grief of a faithful, God will remove his griefs in the world and the hereafter. And whoever does a good deed, God will do him good, and God likes the doers of good deeds. The banner of Imam Hussein's uprising was hoisted for truth and justice. Pilgrims on the day of Arba'een greet Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, who was martyred to defend the religion of all prophets, namely pure monotheism. The pilgrims of Arba'een make a covenant to follow Hussein's path in defense of the oppressed and fighting the oppressor. Since this cause is beyond religion and thought, the Arba'een March has become an international event in which many non-Muslims from Asia, Africa, Europe and the Americas take part. Muslims from countries like Syria, Yemen and Afghanistan converge in this huge human ocean to recount the crimes of the Western regimes. The Saudi regime, which pays terrorist outfits to assassinate thousands of innocent people in the name of Islam.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين
لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين
لبيك يا حسين
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Oh, we are in Karbala, the peace of heaven. And now I'm going to talk to two pilgrims of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Salaam alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
What are your names?
My name is Zain Haider.
Haider. Yeah.
My name is Muhammad Abbas Jaffer.
Muhammad Abbas Jaffer. Can I call you Abbas?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thank you, Abbas. So, how many times have you been to Karbala, Haider?
I've been to Karbala 3 times. This is my second time for Arba'een. I was just here about a month ago for the day of Arafat.
Very good opportunity.
Alhamdulillah.
And how are you, Abbas?
This is also my third time, my second Arba'een. The last time I was here was 2 years ago. So, it feels like I'm long overdue to come again to Abu Abdullah. So, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Did you get here on foot?
Did I?
Did you get here on foot? Did you walk from Najaf to Karbala?
I walked most of the way. We are here for a very short trip, so with the first few hundred poles we took bus, and then from about 600 we walked.
Uh-huh. And how about you, Haider?
Yeah, I walked from Najaf to Karbala, but partially I took the bus as well. This year, more than ever, I think there's been many more pilgrims than before. And that you can see across Najaf, across the walk, and even Karbala.
How did you get familiar with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Haider?
Imam Hussein has always been there for me, as in from a young age, I've always grown up surrounded with the grief of Imam Hussein. I guess going to university when you're more independent and then you have to go to a majlis out of choice as opposed to compulsion, I became more entwined and more infatuated with him. And I started looking at him more, kind of what he stood for, as opposed to just something which was ritualistic. And as a result, I think that's how I became to know Imam Hussein better. We're all born with him, but it's down to us as individuals as to how much we will take from him.
And how are you, Abbas? How did you get familiar with Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Were you born as a Shia Muslim?
Alhamdulillah, yes, I was. And Imam Hussein has always been an inspiration for myself, my family, throughout whatever I've done. I've always been attracted to the Ahlul Bayt and trying to propagate their message through the Ahlul Bayt societies at university, for example, and even in our own masjids and communities back in England. The name of Imam Hussein has always been something that really drives us forward as a community, and Alhamdulillah, I just feel so blessed to be here on Arba'een. Just the thought itself, like, is something that brings me near to tears. And Alhamdulillah, I can't thank Allah enough for this blessing of actually being in this holy place.
By the way, where do you come from?
I'm from London.
London. And how are you, Haider?
I'm from London too. But originally, my parents are from Pakistan. I was born in the UK.
Okay, and can you tell us about the thing that you want from Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
I think a lot of things which are between me and Imam are very intimate, but one thing which I always pray for is the courage to be capable to stand alongside the Imam, and that's with the Imam of our time today. So today's Hussein, will I be like the rest who said they would support him but didn't support him? So I pray to the Imam that he gives me the courage, but more importantly, he gives me the God consciousness, the taqwa, to recognize him and to also implement his call into action.
And how about you? What do you want from Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Abbas.
I think, well, for me, Imam Hussein is Nur. So for me, I ask him just to share with me a little piece of that Nur, that he take my hand, inshallah, and just help me to increase my faith, inshallah. And all of what he stood for, the Tawheed that he stood for, through his Nur, inshallah, to help me achieve that Tawheed for which he stood.
Inshallah. Thank you.
Thank you. Jazakallah.
Thank you ever so much.
Hope you have instilled in our heart, in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul, in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new land.
Dear listeners, I want to talk to a lady who has the honor of being pilgrim of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Salaam alaikum.
Salaam alaikum.
Shall I have your name?
It's Rehana Chaudhry.
Lady Rehana.
Yes.
And where are you from?
I'm from the UK, London.
Can you tell us how many times you have come to Karbala?
This is my very first time in Karbala.
And it's on Arba'in, yeah?
Yes.
Did you get here on food?
The walk, I actually fell ill. I did one day. But I fell ill, but it was amazing. The one-day walk I did. Yes, we did come here on foot, but the rest of the people were amazing to complete all 3 days. But alhamdulillah, yes, one day was just epic. It was still good.
So can you tell us a little about the experience that you had during that one day while you were walking?
You feel energized. It was beautiful, the walk. The people, the hospitality on the streets is amazing. I felt right back at home, where they cared for you, water, food, anything. It was there. They'll massage you, everything. It was something that you have to pay for when you go back into the UK. But here, it is just beautiful, beautiful.
Why is it so? Why do people try to serve you?
Because we're doing it for Imam Hussein and in the name of Allah himself. So for them, it's a reward as well. Because we are Allah's servants as well. For Imam Hussein, we're doing this as well. So, I mean, yeah, they will get rewards from Allah themselves. That's why they're serving us.
Why do people try to come here on food?
It's because of the history of Imam Hussein's family. The history, the tragic history of what happened to them, Bibi Zainab, is all in respect for them. And it's just to reconnect on what hardship they went through and then reflect on your own hardship. And then you compare and you think there couldn't be a bigger sacrifice than our Prophet's family being sacrificed like that because of this walk. We sort of pay tribute to what happened.
And the last question, what is your request from Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
My request for Imam Hussein is to be on this path, to be more closer to Allah than he was, like he was. If only we were like that. But I can hope only to be closer to Allah.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dear listeners, for now, bye.
out your name. Oh, Hussein.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodiles seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services. Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-colored foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colors mixed by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food coloring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience. You never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves its purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theatre.
Tehran Saray Gallery takes part in a massive art exhibition in South Korea, bringing Iran's leading and emerging artists to the Asian market. Works from 6 Iranian painters are displayed at the event, where hundreds of galleries account for more than $50 million in sales annually. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
Seoul's annual global art exhibition has been reinvigorated this year with additional events and a most certain boost in attendance. The Korea International Art Fair continues an evolution that began with its launch back in 2002. This year features 164 galleries and more international exhibitors than ever before. That growing cosmopolitan experience and this region's growth as an art market hub is what brought a premier Iranian gallery to Seoul.
When we started this gallery, we had the big big goal to just introduce Middle Eastern artists and Iranian artists to all over the world. So when you want to introduce artists, you cannot forget South Korea and Far East as well.
Sarai had participated in last year's art fair with paintings purchased by local Korean collectors. Expanding on that success at the event and as Iranian artists are growing in international stature, Hassan Saradipour decided to display works from six Iranian artists at this year's event.
Our gallery focuses on the established and emerging artists. This artist, Abbas Nasashamlu, he just wanted to show that how the nature and how the human can affect to each other, how this experience he can bring it on the canvas, on the paper.
The massive exhibition featured paintings, although there were various multimedia and sculpture installations. As South Korean living standards have risen, more people have time and money to spend on such events. Their taste in art has also become more sophisticated.
South Korea used to lack art galleries compared to other countries. There was a serious lack of love for this level of culture. However, now these events, I think, create opportunities for more people to gain such appreciation.
For the first time this year, Freeze Art Fair in Seoul exhibited works from 110 galleries, including Picasso, other 20th century masters, and contemporary talents. Frank Smith, Seoul.
An Iranian movie wins the grand prize for the best film in this year's Moscow International Film Festival. In its international debut, No Prior Appointment won the Best Film and the Best Actress awards. The movie is a product of Farabi Cinema Foundation and directed by Behruz Shoaibi in Iran in 2021. It is the story of a girl named Yasaman who returns to Iran from Germany after her father's death. A short stay in her father's hometown and meeting those who know him leads her to a new understanding of humans and the concept of death. The 44th edition of the Moscow International Film Festival was held this year from September 4 to 11.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So today, inshallah, we're going to work on the fourth ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, the previous surahs we worked on, and we learned many things about them, actually. Now, inshallah, we'll work on the fourth ayah, but before we start, let's listen to this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
So, alhamdulillah, we listened. It was a great recitation. So, let's go on and work on this ayah. I want Hussein Ruhullah to recite this ayah and we will repeat after him, okay? A'udhu billah, Hussein Ruhullah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. Thank you so much, Brother Hussein Ruhullah. Ayah 4 of Surah Al-Baqarah again talks about the attributes or the characteristics of the muttaqin in the second ayah that we have. Yes? Hudan lil muttaqin. The next ayah, ayah 3, Alladhina yu'minun. This Alladhi means they. Who? The muttaqin. They are like this. Yu'minuna bil ghaib. They believe in the ghaib, okay, in the unseen. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. They maintain the prayers. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend out of what we have provided for them, okay? What we have given them. The knowledge, it can be the knowledge, okay? It can be any blessings of Allah Almighty. Guidance. So anything that Allah Almighty has provided us with, so if we want to be true mu'min, true muttaqin, okay? So we have to spend. This is spent, okay, here I mean like spending things in the way of Allah Almighty, for the sake of Allah Almighty, okay? Like donating, charity, these things. Then in the next ayah again, Allah Almighty talks about the characteristics of muttaqin again. وَالَّذِينَ And they, يُؤْمِنُونَ They believe, what? بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ Allah Almighty talks to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ And they are the people who believe. يُؤْمِنُونَ They believe بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ They believe in what we have sent to you. And what we have revealed to you. And what we have given you. Or what we have sent down to you. Okay? أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ What has Allah Almighty sent to the Prophet? The Quran al-Kareem. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has the Quran al-Kareem. Given by Allah Almighty, yes? So muttaqin are those who believe in alam al-ghayb, believe they maintain the prayers, they spend from what Allah Almighty has provided them with, and they believe in what has been sent down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Qur'an al-Kareem. They believe in Qur'an al-Kareem. Okay? So in the first ayah, second ayah, Allah Almighty says, la rayba fih. So mu'minin, they believe that there is no doubt in it.
Yes.
Okay, they believe this is a book of guidance sent down by Allah Almighty to the Prophet. Okay?
Yes.
Then Allah Almighty says, بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ And believe in what? Believe in وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلِكَ They believe in what was sent down to the Prophet before you. The books of the other prophets. For example, the Torah, the Bible, the Injil, Suhuf Ibrahim and Musa, and the other Zabur, okay, the other books, the other scriptures that the other prophets were given by Allah Almighty, okay?
I have a question.
Yeah.
In these books, like Injil, is there a straight like point to Quran?
Yeah. About the name of the prophet, it is.
Like about no book.
Look, in every...
In Injil, is there anything about Quran?
I have not read the Injil, but I can tell you that this, okay? This is a reality. That any book that comes from Allah Almighty to the prophets for the guidance of the people, okay? In that guidance, whatever is in written or sent down in Injil, okay? We have them in the Quran as well, okay? The true Injil, not the Injil that the Christians now, some of them have, okay? They have like changed a lot of them, okay? A lot of parts
every year they have. Yeah.
Look, Fawad Haider, nice question. Now, why Allah Almighty sends new books? It's because of the needs of the people. And also he wants to teach people more things. Yes? In the Injil we have one thing, in Tawrat we have. And we have the most complete version of all the books, which is called the Quran. Okay? But in the Injil and the Tawrat, okay, we have the names of the next prophets. So one of the things that proves the prophecy of another prophet, the next prophet, okay, a person who claims to be the prophet, is this, that in the book of the other prophets, the previous prophets, his name, his characteristics must be mentioned.
Now, like the original Bible, where is it?
We don't know.
Okay. Now, the copied Bible. Bibles, are there...
Yeah.
Is there any point to
prophet? I think I studied somewhere, okay, in a book. It was written that the real Bible was lost at that time. Okay? Was lost. I mean, among the people, it was lost. But after, like, one century, the people, the students of Prophet Isa alayhi salam and some others, okay, they tried to collect the teachings of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And, of course... they were like mixed with some of the other teachings as well from the other people, from some of the stories which were not correct, okay?
Now, like a new version, is there any point to Rasulullah?
Yeah. In the new version that they have?
Yes.
They have no. But in the real Bible, yeah, it exists. It exists, okay? The real Bible. Actually, the real one, I don't know, but we have a Bible. I think we have one that the name of the prophet is mentioned there. In the Quran as well, we have one ayah that says in the Bible, it is written like this. Quran says, okay? In the ayah, inshallah, we'll study that one, okay? That says that the name of the next prophet is Prophet Muhammad, Ahmed, okay? Ismuhu Ahmed.
Yeah.
We have this.
Yeah.
So, وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. This is the sign of muttaqin, okay? That believing in the other scriptures. So, as Muslims, remember that, as Muslims, if we're claiming that we are the true Muslims, first thing, we have to believe in the other prophets as well. Prophet Isa alayhi salam is not the prophet of only Christians. He's the prophet of us as well. Because he is the prophet of Allah Almighty. Whoever believes in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, he has to believe in Prophet Isa alayhi salam, in Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and all the prophets. We don't have to say that he's the prophet of Jews, he's the prophet of Christians, he's not our prophet. No, we love him, we celebrate his birthday, but we also follow him, okay? Because he is the Prophet of Allah Almighty. Okay. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. And they believe and they have faith in the day of judgment, in the Akhirat. All right? So these are the characteristics of متقين عند الساعة.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Let's recite once again this ayah and work on the tajweed rules. Listen and repeat.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
أحسنت. I want Hussein Ruhullah to explain this ayah. والذين يؤمنون. Is there any tajweed point? The ones that we did practiced in the previous ayahs, do not mention them. The new ones. Is there any new one?
New.
For example, any rule about tanween and nun sakina, any rule about qalqala, any rule about mad, any rule about like mim mushaddad, any other rules?
Yes, here we have madde. Jaiz munfasil.
Mad jaiz munfasil. How is that?
We have mad, bima, and okay. Then hamza.
Hamza we have.
Yes.
So why is jaiz munfasil means you can stretch the mad, or if you don't want, do not stretch the mad. You're allowed to do this. Yes. So why is this? What's the reason?
Because hamza is not in the same word as mad.
Hamza and mad are not in the same word. So hamza and mad are
separate.
Actually, not mad. Okay, say this way: hamza and harful mad. Harful mad is the alif.
Yes.
Sometimes harful mad is ya. Sometimes harful mad is waw. These three letters are huruful mad. Okay. But what is hamza is also there. Okay. If huruful mad, any of the huruful mad, okay, waw, alif, ya, any of them, plus hamza, they both are in the same word in one word. The mad will be maddul wajibul muttasil. Yes? But if they are not in the same word, as Hussein Ruhullah said, it's mad jais munfasil. So you're allowed to stretch the sound or you're allowed to skip the longer sound, okay? The longer vowel sound. So how do you say? How do you recite it, Ali Nasir? Up to unzila ilayk.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك
أحسن or you can skip that
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك
right or you can stretch it for 6 counts for 5 counts that's it any other point Ali Nasir second point if you can say tajweed point Fawad any tajweed
من قبلك قلقلة
qablika qalqala on which letter
min qabl
no on letter which letter
qaf
the letter qaf qaf has harakat qalqala was applied when the letter is saken he's going to say that I think the next letter ba is saken qutb jad ba is there okay so qalqala but before qalqala let's say this qalqala we have some other rules as well So how do you apply the rule qalqala, Fawad Haydar?
Min qablika.
Qablika, Ahsan. Bouncing the sound of ba. Min qablika. Min qablika. Don't say min qablika. Qablika. Ba. When you say ba, the lips touch one another, yes? But you got to bounce it. Ba. 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 Min qablika. All right. So any other rule before this?
So one more time.
One more time, what?
Jaiz munfasil.
Jaiz munfasil mad. Wa ma unzila. So, do we have any ikhfa as well or no? Do we have nun sakin?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Where is nun sakin?
After, in unzila.
Unzila. The word unzila. Nun sakin plus zal. What rule is applied?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Wa ma un. You hide the sound of it. That's all about this ayah. But one more thing. We have again one ikhfa. Where is that? Nun sakin plus? Unzila we have. Two unzila. But any other one? Min
qablike.
Qablike, yes. Qaf. But a heavy ikhfa. Kind of heavy ikhfa.
Yes.
Min qablike.
Two rules at the same time?
Yeah. Min qablike. So.
Let's recite this ayah again, and inshallah we'll take a break. We'll end this session. We'll come with you inshallah in the next session.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
أحسن صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Xavier International Schools Nehru. Inshallah we'll be back with you. Stay with us. Let's recite a salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
This is IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.